You're listening to Teach Me the Bible Podcast, where we unpack the meaning of books, passages, and themes from Scripture. Join us each week as Dr. David Klingler walks us through God's Word and teaches the Bible. Each episode has a study guide available in the show notes. This is Teach Me the Bible Podcast.
Well, David, today, as we start Peter's letter, we're in chapter 1, and as we've said, you know, it really messes up the conversation when we have these chapters, but we've done the overview of Peter, and now, as we're walking into this, what's his focus? Where's he going with this?
Yeah, so just by way of reminder, and anytime we're talking about an epistle, authors write to address a situation, and so so as you read this letter, we're kind of the third person on the phone call, so to speak.
Right.
I mean, you're kind of hearing this discussion,
and on the Peter, group line.
Yeah, on the group. Yeah, Peter's talking to these first century believers, and we got to try to figure out what he's talking about in reading the letter. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's talking about. They know what he's talking about, but we've got to figure this out. And so, apparently, as we read this letter, there are these Jewish believers, and the reason why we say they're Jewish believers, there's just and there's debate about that. Some people say no, these are Gentiles because of some of the language, but I think that's probably not the way to go. And we'll talk about that as we go through this letter. But these the Christ has come. Mm-hmm. Some of the Jews have believed, and this one of the things that I found interesting when I was looking at this years ago. Was that the list of things right here in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to those who reside as aliens, scattered, that's the first word that we run into. Mm-hmm. That's the diaspora word. It's the Deuteronomy 28, if you're obedient, I will bless you, but if you're disobedient, I will disperse you among the nations. And that's what's happened. And Israel has not been regathered. You know, when they repent, when Israel repents, when they believe in the Lord, they will be restored from captivity, and he will have compassion upon them. And that hasn't happened. And so these Jews have believed, yet they're still scattered. And they're scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen. That chosen language is Israel's language. And I remember when I was looking at Acts chapter 1 and into chapter 2, this is these men. It was the day of Pentecost, and there were Jews who were in Jerusalem. This is in chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, and they were all hearing in their own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, are not these, you know, men who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each one hears in his own language? And here's the list. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who reside in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. It's a lot of the same list.
Yeah,
and this is where Israel was dispersed. They were dispersed among the nations. And so Peter's writing to these Jews who have believed, but were scattered. Mm-hmm. And this was all, he says in verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. This plan has been revealed, and there will be a remnant, and these are Jewish believers who are part of the remnant, and so he's going to encourage them as part of the remnant by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest. And so he's writing to Jewish believers who are dispersed. And they are being persecuted. Now, there's some verses that people will say, well, you know, there's the Gentiles are in view here. And this is like in chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing that they slander you as evildoers, they may on account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. And we're going to talk about this next time when we get into chapter 2, but just by way of interpreting chapter 1, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing in which they slander you, and the question is, who's the they? Is it the Gentiles or is it someone else? Well, in the near reading, you'd think, well, it's Gentiles. But when you broaden out and you say, now, wait a second, what was going on during this time? As the Gentiles have believed in Christ, they're being brought into the assembly. Right. And so now the Jews are hanging out with Gentiles, uncircumcised Gentiles,
right,
who the unbelieving Jew would call unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the purpose for Israel always was to be a light to the Gentiles. And now these Jewish believers are actually being a light to the Gentiles. And it's because of this reason they're hanging out with the Gentiles. They're being rejected by their fellow brethren, the fellow Jew. And so they're persecuting them. And so the Christians in the congregation, mm-hmm, are being persecuted. I think about Paul and Paul going from, right, place to place, and he wasn't, you know, persecuting First Baptist Church. He was going from synagogue to synagogue, right, and trying to clean out the these folks.
The Jew first, then the Gentiles.
And mm-hmm, and we also get indication that they're under that the Jews in Jerusalem are under persecution from Paul's writings. He's going around throughout Mesopotamia and Achaia, taking up a collection to take it back to the Jewish believers who are in Jerusalem, and so that leads us to this last in chapter 5, she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, greet you. Used to be former students and now fellow professors and teachers at the seminary, Caleb Foley, is writing his dissertation in this area, and I think he's right that what he's saying is that Babylon here is a type, and it's referring to Rome. Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
It refers to Jerusalem. That Jerusalem has become like Babylon. They've, mm-hmm, joined forces with, mm-hmm, with the evil side on the wrong side of it. And so in writing from Jerusalem and say, she is in Babylon, greet you. Mm-hmm, it's saying, look, you have identified with, as Paul would say in Galatians, with the Jerusalem from above, not with the Jerusalem below, not the Jerusalem, mm-hmm, of this day, which is rebellious. And so all that to say, the Jews are being persecuted. The Jewish believers throughout the kingdom, the Roman Empire, are being persecuted, and Peter's writing to encourage them. And so he says in verse 3, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be begotten from above to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That is a big verse. What's going on here? Well, this whole born again or begotten from above language, Jesus is talking about this back in John chapter 3, is the discussion of Ezekiel 36. And in Ezekiel 36, in the Hebrew, it reads this way. Ezekiel is prophesying to the mountains of Israel, of the land. And he says, I will cause my people Israel to walk upon you again. In the Greek, it reads a little differently. It says, I will cause my people Israel to be begotten upon you again, that they will be begotten again. If you're not begotten again, if you're not begotten from above, you will not see the kingdom, mm-hmm, right? And so the first indication, so you have been, these believers, these Jewish believers have been begotten from above, begotten from above to a living hope. Their hope is a living hope because Christ is their hope and he's living mm-hmm, because he's raised, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so because he was raised, they will be raised. And so their hope is a living hope in that their identity is in Christ for the purpose of obtaining an inheritance, which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, Christ is reserved in heaven. The new Jerusalem is being created in heaven, mm-hmm, and it's coming down. And, mm-hmm, he says, who are protected by the power of God through faith in for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. And so Christ is going to return, their inheritance is going to be revealed, and in this they greatly rejoice. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, have been distressed by various trials, by various temptations, by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. So having not seen him, you mm-hmm. you love him. You don't see him now. Right. And in fact, those who are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, they probably never saw him when he lived, mm-hmm. right? And so they had heard of this one who was coming, who was proclaimed by the prophets, and we're going to get to that here in just a minute. But they've never seen him, and they don't see him now. But they love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. This is the salvation. He's going to say this in verse 10. This is the salvation that the prophets prophesied. This promised one is the one who was looked forward to the whole Old Testament. He says, as to this salvation, as to this deliverance, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ was within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glory to come. And so it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In other words, they were looking forward to this time when Christ would appear, and this Christ would suffer, and then he would be glorified, he would be raised. And so all of this was revealed. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, that the Christ was not going to come at their time, but a future time, but you, in these things which you have now been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels long to see. Therefore, gird your mind for action. In other words, he's writing to them, reminding of them mm-hmm. that this is the promised and revealed will of God. Christ would come, Christ would suffer, Christ would be glorified. But he would be the firstborn from the dead, and you'd have to endure, right? There was a remnant that was going to believe and he's going to turn to this in chapter 2. You know, when you think, okay, what verse would someone who knew the Old Testament summon to encourage them? Well, it would be the builder, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and so throughout Isaiah, the remnant has believed. They're the remnant, but Israel has rejected, and so you're going to have to endure, mm-hmm. right? So gird your mind for action. Mm-hmm. Be sober. Fix your hope completely on the grace which is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So many times we hear you come to Jesus, he's going to fix all your problems. And it's just, that's just not anything that's ever promised. Mm-mm. Yeah. I wish it were. I wish, believe in Jesus and all of a sudden it goes great, right? but that's not it. Yeah. You believe in Christ and the world is following Satan. And now they're going to, you know, the world hates God, the world hates Christ, and now the world hates you. And you've aligned yourself.
Yes. You're aligned.
And so, why do you endure? How do you endure? You need to be encouraged because Christ is raised. That reality is absolutely our encouragement. He mm-hmm. has been raised.
Yeah.
And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we don't see him. We haven't seen him. We don't see him now. And so it's easy to lose heart. Mm-hmm. But this reality of the promised resurrected Christ who is returning is the means by which they were and we mm-hmm. are to gird mm-hmm. our mind for action. Fix your hope completely on the grace, which is to be, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's Hebrews, or keep your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Cause Christ is in heaven, but he's coming to earth. All of this is the same. So as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance. Now, what's he talking about there? Israel rejected the Lord. They went over and they joined the nations, mm-hmm. and they followed in the lust of the nations. But now they have believed in the Christ. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is, several times it shows up there in Leviticus. The Lord saying, I am set apart from the nations, or set apart from the gods of the nations. So you, Israel, are to be set apart from the peoples. So what does it look like for the first century Jewish believer to be set apart? What looks like being a follower of Christ? And that means you're signed up for suffering.
Yeah.
And so if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay, during your time on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like gold and silver. This comes right. This is Isaiah chapter 52. For you were in your futile way of life, you inherited of your forefathers. You know that you've not been redeemed with gold and silver. You've been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb, unblemished, spotless blood of Christ. Verse 20, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. This is what the prophets were talking about back in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, and so forth. Who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So don't be confused. You've got the right God. You've got the right Messiah. You've got the right faith. Endure. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, the love of the brethren. And I think this is going to tie into what he's saying in chapter 2. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that into the thing that they slander you, the ones who are slandering you, the ones who are saying all sorts of evil about you aren't the Gentiles.
No.
They're the Jews who rejected Christ, right? And so it is for the love of the brethren that you endure, that you not only your fellow believer— but your brother who is the rejecter, you know, Paul's going to say it this way, while we were enemies, you know, he went over there and the Jews went over there and aligned themselves against God and became his enemy. He says, and while we were enemies, Christ died for us. The Jews went and rejected and put themselves against God. Now, the Gentiles were already enemies, but the Jews became enemies. And so Paul's desire, and we see this all through his work, you know, I think of Romans in particular, he wishes that he was, you know, accursed for the sake of his brethren, his fellow Jew who's a non-believer, you know, that
so
they would come to faith.
The brethren is the nation of Israel.
I think that—
Brothers in Christ.
Yeah, in other words, the very ones who are persecuting him and persecuting them are, you know, for the sake of the brethren. This is the whole story. Israel, the remnant, believes— Israel as a whole rejects. The gospel goes to the Gentiles. Mercy is given to the Gentiles for the purpose of bringing the Jews back in. Therefore, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls with a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Now, they have this love for the unbeliever, but the love of the brethren from the heart. Love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. And so the love of the brethren is not simply the love of the fellow believer, but I think what drives Peter and James and John is the love of the unbelieving one as well. And I think that should drive us as well, too.
Well, I mean, we're going to see in the example of suffering of Christ.
Absolutely.
For the sake of his brothers to be brought near to God.
Absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely.
In the submitting to authority.
And so, yeah, that's exactly right. So in the midst of the suffering, as the unbeliever observes the suffering, he says, what are you doing? Well, there's your chance,
there's
right?
There's your opportunity. So, yep.
Yeah. And so... all flesh is like grass, and its glory is flower like the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. That's out of Isaiah chapter 40. I mean, this is right in the, comfort my people, Israel. Mm-hmm. And this is the word which was preached to you. And so this word, this message has come to these Jews. They have believed it. They've never seen the Christ, mm-hmm. but the prophets were talking of this one. And so Peter is saying, okay, so it is, it's time to, mm-hmm. to walk. Now, in chapter 2, we're gonna get into this next time. But it's, there's this whole message is just steeped in Isaiah talk, and we're gonna pick that up.
As you said, if he's writing to Jewish believers been scattered abroad, this should be making a lot of sense to them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This language.
Yep.
Right.
They need to know this. Mm-hmm. They need to hear this. And so next time as we pick it up in chapter 2, he's going to continue right down this trail of explaining Israel's rejected. Mm-hmm. They've rejected the stumbling, the building stone and
chief cornerstone.
Chief cornerstone, and they've stumbled over it. And he's going to quote right out of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. But you, because you have believed, are a holy priesthood. So mm-hmm. endure.
Right.
Hang in there. This is all according to the plan.
Right.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
And so be encouraged. And so that'll be next time in chapter 2.
Well, thank you, David. Looking forward to it. And as always, just want to encourage our people, our listeners, viewers, pastors, to stay connected to the local body of believers, continue in learning to understand God's word, which is our goal here, and also to encourage them, encourage the leadership of the church. I think the pastors, being a pastor, there's so many distractions.
Sure.
And this is a great reminder what you're enduring through. It's as always has been.
Yep.
This is the call. So thank you, David.
Thanks for listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast. Our desire is to use the power of God's Word to change lives. For more information, download our app. Join us next week for another episode of Teach Me the Bible.